for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. How are you? Very happy Friday or Saturday, depending upon what side of the globe you're on. Welcome to the Steve Hook Show. I am Steve Hook on TNT Radio. We've got a big show today. My guest today coming up a little bit later, Simon Essler. Simon is he's an independent filmmaker. He's also I'll just say this. I'll let him kind of do the introductions, but I will just kind of introduce him by way of saying that Simon, like so many of us, found himself banned on a lot of social media sites, but only after they noticed him. And they noticed him after he built a 14,000 member, basically a think tank on TikTok. And because he was using wrong speak and wrong think, he was banned across the social media board. And some of the things that I'm sure that, and we'll get into it in more detail with Simon, but you know, commenting on COVID, or any other hot button social topic that did not pass the muster with the far left big tech brigade. And they decided that this guy doesn't really deserve free speech, and they blocked him. So we look forward to chatting with Simon in just a bit. As far as the news goes today, well, it looks like the Trump indictment is going to take place. The Trump is going to surrender himself for the whole, you know, the whole processing and all that. That means fingerprints, the mugshot, which, oh, they're salivating for that. And that's all going to happen now Tuesday at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's going to be a zoo. It's going to be an absolute zoo. And I know that there's people out there on the left, and these people have lost any and all. I've lost any and all respect for any of these folks that don't come out and strongly denounce what's going on. If you allow your untethered and unquenchable hatred for one man to blind you to the bigger picture, then you're a true moron, as far as I'm concerned. I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that to be controversial. I say that because I mean it. If you don't understand the harm that this is doing to the nation, and all you can do is celebrate with your progressive woke friends, you're an idiot. Because this is going to be, well, this is the precedent. And now anything that follows is going to be uncharted territory. And just to put this in perspective, ladies and gentlemen, New York City, Manhattan, where this fat Soros-funded Marxist is DA, Alvin Bragg, it's over 90% Democrat. New York City might be the most progressive city in the United States per capita. That includes Portland, Oregon. That includes Seattle, Washington. That includes San Francisco. New York City, Manhattan specifically, is like 94% liberal progressive Democrat. There is zero diversity in New York City politically. Zero. So the old adage, you can indict a ham sandwich, that's absolutely true. Providing the ham sandwich had an R after its name. And if that Republican ham sandwich were rung up on charges in Manhattan for a small crime, they will throw the book at you. That's how much they despise any diversity of thought when it comes to politics. And that's what's happening. So now this coming Tuesday, Trump will be arraigned and he'll be fingerprinted and all that stuff. And then he'll leave. And then we'll have years of this to play out. And I'll tell you, if Trump wins the nomination and then goes forward and wins the presidency, and I would love to see that happen now more than ever before. because I'd love to see these people's heads explode. But what they really wanted was the perp walk. They wanted Trump handcuffed and perp walked. They're not going to get it. They are not going to get it. Do you think the Secret Service is going to allow a former president to be handcuffed? That's never going to happen. They will never allow that. Do you think the Secret Service is going to allow a former president to be frog marched in public through a crowd of rabid progressive morons in New York City on his way to get arraigned? That's never going to happen. But let me make a prediction now, and we'll compare notes come Wednesday and see if I'm not correct. Somebody somewhere inside the court system or the New York Justice Department is going to leak to reporters what entrance, what egress and exit Donald Trump will be using for this arraignment on Tuesday. Somebody will leak it, and there will be cameras there, and they will get a picture, because that's what this is all about. This is all about getting the picture. This is all about planting the seed. This is all about campaign ads in the future. You dare not focus on the absolute horrible job that the most corrupt president in the U.S. in the United States history ever is performing right now. Joe Biden is, not only is he cognitively gone, which is bad enough, but he is a lifelong serial grifter, criminal, as far as I'm concerned. And they don't want you to focus on that. They don't want you to focus on the Hunter laptop. They don't want you to focus on any of this stuff that's about to hit the fan. So they, working with their media Praetorian Guard, are going to make this all about Trump, all about the messaging. And I can hear it already. The only president to be impeached twice and then indicted after he left office. I mean, you can just hear them. They're frothing at the mouth over this. So vile is their hatred, and so putrid is their morality and decency. But we shall see how it plays out. It's going to be very interesting, but Tuesday's the big day. Hey, listen, at TNT Radio, we never go home. That's right. We're here all the time, and we're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7, 365, online, globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Breaking news heard here.
It's a round-the-clock update.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. I had a funny feeling this was going to happen. We're going to welcome our buddy Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, to the program now. Get this now. Facing mounting pressure, the Pentagon has very quietly announced that it plans to disband its education wings, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Unit. And I tell you, we can all thank Matt Gaetz for this, because he made the Secretary of Defense and General Milley both look like complete babbling fools the other day when he asked about the drag shows on U.S. military bases, and neither one of them could give him a straight answer. Now today, a few days later, they've canceled all of this crap. Hey, Ruckus, welcome aboard again, my friend. I got a chuckle when I read your email, because I said, oh boy, that was almost as predictable as the sunrise. That was one of the funniest hearings I've seen in a long time. But why don't you give us the lowdown here, brother?
I'm shocked. The audacity of you to say that. This is a fun one. By the way, you were making me hungry talking about ham sandwiches there earlier today. It reminded me of the days I haven't eaten a good ham sandwich since I was in school, and it was in my brown paper bag lunch. And hey, speaking of all that, Pentagon's education branch, the Department of Defense Education Activity, is a federally operated school system responsible for educating service members' children. Currently, there are roughly 70,000 children enrolled in DOD schools. Now, this thing we're talking about, the DEI unit. So the DODEA's DEI unit, try saying that five times fast. This was formed under the Biden administration the Biden administration was requesting all federal agencies to, quote, establish or elevate chief diversity officers. The agency hired Kalisa Wing as the education branch's DEI chief in 2021. She was responsible for curriculum, professional development, and hiring. In September of 2022, Wing came under fire for being a quote-unquote woke administrator after posting comments disparaging white people on social media. Allegedly, Wing posted, quote, "I'm so exhausted at these white folks in these professional development sessions. This lady actually had the caw." Dacity, that's C-A-U, dacity, to say that black people can be racist too, end quote. The term caudacity is a combination of the word Caucasian and audacity. Lovely. Wing was placed
under... She's a racist.
Clearly. Wing was placed under a six-month investigation for her comments. Gil Cisneros, the DEOD's Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, was assigned to investigate Wing. Last Thursday, Cisneros was asked to read Wing's post aloud when asked by, here he is, Florida Republican Representative Matt Gaetz to define audacity. Cisneros replied, "I have no idea." Cisneros ultimately, quote, determined the employee was speaking in a personal capacity, end quote, and no disciplinary action was taken against Wing. In a letter to Congress, Cisneros claimed that Wing was no longer involved in DEI-specific responsibilities, but did participate in a restructuring. However, Fox News Digital did some digging, and they spoke with some sources, and they found out that Wing is still internally listed as a DEI professional. They got caught with their pants down. People put pressure on them, and now they have somehow quietly, officially announced this via an email, disbanding this unit. They explained that the DEI specialists would be reassigned to several headquarter divisions, including research, accountability, and evaluation, strategic and organizational excellence, and professional learning and human resources. So these people are still in there. They don't have the fancy DEI label anymore. So
they've shuffled them around. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just, you know what though, Adam, I tell you, I say it's unbelievable, but really, is it anymore? It's not unbelievable at all. This is who they are. And this lady should be absolutely fired from her job, never to work for the government again. I mean, I know this is kind of like this, you know, whenever you say, what if it was, but imagine a white employee talking about a black parent or a group of parents, and instead of saying caudacity, said blackacity. They would be fired, rightfully so, by the way, but they would be fired before their feet hit the floor. They would be out of there. And I just find the whole thing disgusting. Did you see that testimony where Gaetz grilled Milley in Austin, by the way, Ruckus?
Oh, man. I'll probably have to catch a highlight reel on my YouTube feed over the weekend.
It's so funny because there's a point in the hearing, and it came out of left field kind of, because nobody was really hitting him on this. And all of a sudden, Gaetz said to Austin, Secretary of Defense Austin, what do you think about the drag shows for kids, family and children on DOD bases? And he just, we don't agree with that. Well, and then he Gaetz listed show after show after show of all of these drag shows that had the official insignia of the Department of Defense on it. So they were obviously read in on it. And he said, who paid for them? And he goes, we don't pay them. We don't fund it. And Milley, the same thing. He's like, I didn't know anything about it. It was just hysterical. Gaetz had them up against the ropes, and they had no comeback for it. So to see a few days later that they have cut all ties with this woman and with this program comes as no shock to me. But I think they'll probably just rename it and keep going with it. We'll see. But crazy. crazy yeah. times.
We do have to be careful because I've been noticing a trend again. A lot of the scenery coming out of the halls of justice, as I like to refer to it sometimes, with all of these meetings and all the politics has gotten very TV friendly, very entertaining. There's a lot of confrontation. It's turning into this giant spectacle, like yeah. a wrestling match. I don't know if you saw that confrontation between Massey and I forget the other dude, gentleman. I'm using the term loosely here, but they got into like a big fight in the hallway. The one guy was absolutely screaming and getting into Massey's face and acting completely childish and unprofessional over gun control stuff in this instance. But everything is just devolving. I've been watching some of the Jim Jordan's heading up all the subcommittees on the weaponization of the government. Yeah. That alone, holy moly, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I'm getting triggered just listening to these people. They're arguing and fighting, and it's getting intense.
Well,
it's,
and you know what?
The way things should be.
I'm convinced that this is all intentional. I'm convinced that this is all about distraction. This is the silver, the shiny object tactic of getting your eye off the ball so you don't see what's really going down with our country circling the drain. I will say this, that after last week, how anyone can defend the progressive movement is beyond me. If I were ever stupid enough or naive enough to call myself a progressive after this past week, I would cut all ties with that movement. I mean, anyone who puts forth this BS narrative that guns, Christians, and Republicans are to blame for what a far-left, progressive, mentally unstable transgender woman did in Nashville, anyone who pushes that narrative is a no-questioned-ass scumbag, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know that sounds angry, and I know that sounds hyperbolic, but I mean it with every fiber of my being. How any self-proclaimed progressive is applauding this politically motivated travesty of justice by that Soros-funded fat bastard in New York, Alvin Bragg. Anyone who's applauding that is a traitorous, un-American fool because they're not looking at what this is going to do to the civil society. It is lighting a fuse, and I think they want to light that fuse. And the harm that these people, and only these people, are doing is incalculable. They are applauding it as they push their pronouns and all of this other woke crap down our throats. People are fed up with it. And this indictment of Trump is it's the last straw. It is crossing the Rubicon. People are going to be fed up. And if there was ever a chance that Donald Trump would not get the nomination, that's gone now. Now, maybe that's what they want. I don't know. But I don't think they're going to like the way this shakes out. We'll have to wait and see. But you know what, Ruckus? At least that woman is out of the picture for now. The Caudacity woman. So I guess, you know, it's the small things we've got to applaud now. God, 24 can't get here fast enough, brother.
Here, here. All right. Well, you have a nice weekend, Steve. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Ruckus is like, I got to get out of here. He's furious. All right, Adam, listen, brother, you enjoy your weekend. Okay, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, and we've got a great, great guest for you today. Simon Essler will join us next on the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare.
I like Trump. All right, so let me just throw it out there. I like Trump. When he won in 2016, I remember my wife and I woke up in the morning and we had a little celebration because every establishment media outlet was projecting a Clinton win. And it was so wonderful to see how he just turned that thing on its head. I know that Trump is flawed. He is a politician. Warp Speed was a disastrous campaign, and he's done a few other policy decisions as president that I didn't like, but it doesn't really matter because I'm not American, so I'm just an outsider observing. I kind of get the feeling, though, that he shouldn't run for president. I don't know. I think he had his time. I can't tell you why. I just somehow think that he's a little too cocksure of himself. I suspect Ron DeSantis might take him in the final lap. I'm not sure. But we'll see how it goes.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Physical abuse, it's a gradual thing. It starts with a push. It starts with a slap. It starts with that look. And then it just gets worse and worse.
You can't underestimate the impact of a woman being listened to and say, I hear you. This is unacceptable, what you're experiencing, and it can be the first step to rebuild their lives following domestic abuse. For any woman who is considering calling the National Domestic Abuse Helpline, we are completely confidential. Please do give us a call. We are here for you any time of the day or night, and you are not alone.
Phone our free 24-hour helpline on 0808 200247 or visit refuge.org.uk. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Don't forget and don't forgive. Punish those who hurt people with COVID madness. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. Very happy to welcome to the program guest, first time on the program, and we welcome Simon Essler. Simon is, well, mostly he's a free thinker, but he's also an independent filmmaker, and he put together a huge forum on Facebook only to have it wiped out and basically him get blackballed across the social media scene. Shocker. Imagine that. So you can imagine where Simon's head was at. He wasn't touting the use of multiple pronouns. He wasn't touting all of that. He was touting stuff that the left didn't agree with, and they canned him. But that was actually probably a good thing, a blessing and a curse, because he is now streaming on Rise.tv and other platforms. And we welcome him to the show now. Simon Essler, sir, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. I'm doing very well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy to have you here, and I was reading up on some of the things that you've been weighing in on, and some of them are issues that are actually, as it turns out, even more prevalent now than they were 4 days ago, 5 days ago. I'm talking about the push for transgenderism, which I find to be bizarre. Because I know that it's really more of a political thing than it is anything else. And I'm just wondering what your take on, and of course, more recently, the unjust, politically motivated indictment of former President Trump. And I'm wondering what your thoughts on, first of all, why don't we dip into the Nashville school shooting and how this is being presented in the media as perhaps it's a problem with Tennessee state legislature for passing anti-trans legislation. And folks, when they say anti-trans legislation, what they mean is you're not allowing us to pour this stuff into your children's head in public school, so you are a transphobe. But now we see what happened. They're saying that the shooting, they're trying to kind of, you know, walk with baby steps here by saying, well, the shooting may not have happened if it wasn't for this legislation. The shooting may not have happened if these Christians didn't wave their faith in front of everybody. This wouldn't have happened if we had better gun laws. All of this is crap and avoids the real problem. What's your thought on all of this, Simon?
Well, I think that there are consistent attempts to radicalize both the right and the left. There is an attempt to create more divisiveness. So, you know, we have this danger with this shooting now that it might drive people deeper into political ideologies that cause them to not see each other. Because the fact is, you know, having researched this issue for quite a while, there are plenty of people on the left that are actually against gender ideology, that are against gender affirmative care for children. They want you to believe that it's a totally left versus right thing. They want you to believe that it's gay versus straight. That's all nonsense. There's plenty of level-headed people on both sides. And I think that's one of the biggest dangers of this shooting, is that the media on both sides can now use this to radicalize people so that they are unable to speak to the other side. So when people get more radicalized politically, it's less likely that someone from the right will reach over to the left and say, hey, like, you agree with me, right? And have a real conversation about it. And we actually need to fight for that. We need to make sure that to actually undo the kinds of manipulation that the media is doing now, we want to keep maintaining free thought-based dialogue across the political aisle. And they do not want that. They want this radicalization. They want this deep division running down the heart of America, down the heart of North America, frankly. And, you know, that has been my call to action in response to the shooting. It's really to maintain free thought and recognize that this is not political in the way that they want you to think it is political. And I think the place where we want to use politics is, of course, to pass legislation, is to pass bills that protect children. And that is an important area. But when we get to discussing this and having dialogue within the public square, we want to make sure that we are seeking out people who are technically our political opponents to have open-minded dialogue. And I've been able to do that with people, and I've tried to fight for that. And I think that's one of the biggest steps we can take right now in the face of what's going on.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, by the way. And I'm angry right now because I'm angry because this week has been a horrible week for the United States of America. And I will tell you, Simon, and I'm not radicalized by any stretch, but I am, well, let's just say I'm woke. I'm awakened to what they're doing with this. And they are using it as a political cudgel, for lack of a better term, the transgender movement. But they always use movements like this for political gain. And I was so angry, utterly disgusted, that I knew exactly what they were going to do once we determined who the shooter was. I said to my wife, I said, we are going to find out that this is not actually the fault of the person who did it. This is the fault of Christianity. This is the fault of guns. This is the fault of Republicans. That's what the angle they're going to go. And that is exactly what they did. Exactly. Within hours. And I find that reprehensible. But I agree with you that there are people on the other side that feel exactly the same way. Even some gay Democrat like Glenn Greenwald comes to mind. He's gay and he says the same thing. And he's also of the left and says, yeah, you can't go after kids like this. So what do you think, how do we have this free and open dialogue with the other side when their side controls the media, their side controls Hollywood, their side controls big tech, controls academia, public schools, teachers' unions, and they are pushing one side and telling everybody on their side that the other side are literally Nazis. How do you fight that?
Well, I think to an extent, what we're doing right now, you know, promoting free thinking media and promoting the decentralization of media is super important, because we know that to an extent, these big media outlets, they are losing viewers, right? We can look at MSNBC and CNN, all these news outlets, their viewership is declining. And where's the viewership going? It's going to this decentralized media structure that is rising bit by bit, even against all of their censorship. And that's the kind of structure that we want to use. I think in terms of creating dialogue, there are ways into this that are open to both sides. It's actually one of the reasons I made my latest film, Cut, Daughters of the West, because I found evidence and insights that I felt appealed to both sides. So, for example, this gender craze that's going on, you know, it's exploding in girls specifically. You know, adolescent girls, they're the ones who are getting more medical transitions than any group. But when I looked into this, what I found was that before this gender craze in girls, there was an exponential rise in girls getting cosmetic genital surgery and breast augmentations. And a lot of that had to do with doctors pushing disinformation on the girls. It had to do with media influences like pornography and social media. And so some of those things, you can go to someone on the left and say, hey, do you really think all these girls should be getting cosmetic genital surgery? That's not a political ideology. Right?
I see.
And you can invite them into dialogue with some of these broader forms of social engineering that I think have been ongoing for much longer than gender ideology.
I agree with that completely. I want to talk about the film Cut, the Daughters of the West, because it's a very interesting subject matter. And you're right. You might find common ground here. You know why? I think because the media hasn't gotten hold of the cosmetic surgery end of it and tried to turn it into a political cudgel. But they've been doing that with the transitioning. So we'll see how that plays. I want to talk about that on the other side. We got to take a break, but let's come back and talk about your film Cut. My guest today is Simon Essler. You're listening to The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. We'll be back right after this.
What station is this?
News station. Ladies and gentlemen,
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Six U.S. troops have been diagnosed with traumatic brain injuries following suspected Iranian-backed attacks at U.S. bases in Syria last week, according to the Pentagon. Australia has seen a reduction in the number of children under supervision for criminal activities in the past 5 years, despite the recent high-profile cases of youth crime in some states.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. We're going to jump right back in with Simon, but I want to remind you about something coming up here before long. April 11th marks the four-year anniversary of the arrest of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. We'd invite you to join activists and supporters from around the country from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C. to demand the charges against him be dropped. What's happening to Julian Assange is happening to all of us in our own little way. In fact, Simon can attest to that, right? It's the criminalization of the truth. That's what it is. The whole world is watching and the tide is turning. Journalism is not a crime. So I just wanted to get that in. Okay, let's get back to Simon Essler. Simon, thank you for holding on through the break there, brother. Cut, The Daughters of the West. This is, I've yet to see it. I read about it. I read the synopsis. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating topic. And you touched on something before the break that children, especially young females, are the ones mostly targeted for not just the transgender crap, but just, I don't know if it's bombarded by social media, but breast augmentations and all of this stuff and genital correction surgery and all of this garbage that is being spoon-fed by, frankly, sites like TikTok, but others too. And it's really having a negative effect on our kids, our daughters.
Yes, the girls are especially sensitive to social media. This is something that I expose deeply in the film. Social media affects girls in ways it does not affect boys at all. And they are definitely on TikTok being fed this idea that they need to get their genitals corrected. You know, there's all sorts of memes and there's even ads sometimes for it. And so you have that element of social coercion, and you have the fact that social media being given to girls in middle school, so we're talking about preteens, it affects them very, very, very aggressively and affects their mental health. And then surrounding all of that is the fact that the medical industry and the cosmetic surgery industry is willfully participating in cutting these girls up. And they're using absolute medical disinformation. They're not giving them informed consent. They're pretending that there's no long-term damage. They're telling them that 50% of girls have deformed labia and that most of them need it anyways. So we're looking at a medical industry that has been willfully disinforming girls and women for a long time. And I think, again, that's important because that's not political and that needs to be brought into this whole discussion.
Yeah. And I mean, and it, you know, I'm as a father of two now adult daughters, and my kids were born into the internet age. You know, I mean, there's a sharp line of division where all of a sudden the generational differences are pre-internet, post-internet. Well, my daughters were born right at the beginning, the genesis of the internet really taking off. And thankfully, they escaped relatively unharmed. But I'm telling you, these kids, they'll get on an app like TikTok and they'll spend 2 hours watching 25-second videos, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it definitely is having an effect. This is in large part why people are saying we need to get rid of TikTok. But TikTok is not the only purveyor of this crap, is it?
No, it's absolutely. It's to the extent that this is damaging young girls, especially girls in that middle school age, preteens, all social media is terrible for their development. And this is a new human experiment. We had never given smartphones and social media to middle school children. That's brand new. We're looking at the first generation that has been exposed to that. And the results is that the first generation of middle school girls that were exposed to smartphones and social media had their mental health crash. We had preteens being hospitalized because they're cutting themselves so badly at record numbers, right alongside the introduction of smartphones and social media. So the fact is that girls and even boys that age, they should not be getting access to social media. And we're looking also at a perfect storm because at the same time that age group was given social media, then gender ideology saturated our whole culture. It was pumped into social media. It was pumped into the schools and into Hollywood. And the confluence of all those factors is definitely a big part of why we saw an explosion in teenage girls suddenly seeking gender transitions across Canada and America and the UK, Norway, Sweden, Finland, all these countries.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've got nothing against transgender people, gay, queer, lesbian, whatever. I've got absolutely nothing against them. I've had gay roommates in my past. I've had gay and lesbian friends of mine. I've even known a couple of transgenders, not in my close friend group, not because I wouldn't be friends with them, because I just didn't know them. So I don't have a problem with these individuals. I have a problem with this movement, because this movement seems to be basically pushing this down the throats of children younger and younger. And it's, I don't give a damn what anybody says. This is not, oh, we're just doing this because we care about these trans kids. No. It's because you want affirmation that everything you're doing is perfectly normal, and therefore we should create more of them. That's the way I see it as a father. And I don't think that this kind of stuff belongs in school at all. Now, as far as getting it banned from, you know, social media, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but there has to be some kind of regulation to kind of slow this down, because you're right. It's having a devastating effect on kids. Especially with the lockdowns of COVID, because God, kids weren't in school. They were spending a lot of their free time online, getting psychologically screwed, essentially, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say that there is very, very aggressive information warfare when it comes to transgenderism and gender dysphoria. I even see people on the left who are saturated by this information warfare. They are disinformed about this. So if we look into the history of gender dysphoria and the science of it, what we find is that the majority of children with clinical gender dysphoria grow out of it. We're looking at 90% of them. So there's no such thing as a trans kid, because that's something that takes a long time to even know. And the majority of them wouldn't even stay trans, even if they had clinical gender dysphoria. So we're looking at that. Those numbers are being suppressed and ignored by mainstream media. We're looking at the fact that that group of kids, you know, they've studied this over, there's studies that went for like 35 years, and they followed up with children with clinical gender dysphoria as adults. Not only did the majority of them turn out to not have gender dysphoria as adults, but most of them were just gay. So you're actually looking at the transitioning of children who would become gay and lesbian adults. And that's why you have groups like Gays Against Groomers standing out and speaking up, because they're actually pushing something that is deeply homophobic. And the information warfare is one of the most dangerous things, because it's not only disinforming people on the right, but people on the left as well. So left-wing parents, they don't know that the gender affirmative model that's being pushed right now has been banned in the UK. It's banned in Norway, in Sweden, in Finland. All these countries have gone back on this gender affirmative medical model because it was hurting kids and it wasn't backed by science. But you don't see that being covered. And so I share those facts as often as possible, because left-wing parents, they need to know the facts about this that are being hidden. You know, this is all very anti-scientific. There's no such thing as a trans kid, and gender affirmative care is being rejected around the world. Those are facts.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And it seems to me that it's being pushed on kids as and they wrap themselves in this false cloak of virtue, saying we just care about the children. When my position on it is that what they really care about is the normalization of this, and for them to be able to say, see, even kids as young as 8 can be transgender. So they don't give a rip about these children. They're using the children basically as cannon fodder in this social cultural war that they're in. And I think, but Simon, don't you sense the backlash? Obviously it's happened in Norway and other countries in Europe, but don't you see the backlash building for this? I mean, this is not good for their cause even.
Yeah. And I do wonder if that backlash is, you know, something they're trying to engineer, that perhaps they want a specific overreaction from, you know, people on the right, or maybe there will be some sort of false flag event with someone they're trying to paint as a right-wing extremist, because we know they've done that many times in the past. There'll be some kind of event and they'll tell everyone that it was a right-wing QAnon influencer, and then it turns out none of that was true. You know, that's a possibility. So, you know, we have to watch out for the ways they're going to manipulate all of this.
Well, and then when we did see a woman who suffered from severe mental instability, let's just put it that way, go into a Christian school and mow down 3 young, innocent kids and 3 innocent adults, and then that immediately gets turned into, well, it was probably because she felt this was her only way to be heard, and we're going to make sure that we get her pronouns right. It's he and him. I mean, at some point, it beggars belief that people actually fall in line with that kind of thinking, quite frankly.
Yeah, you know, it makes you wonder if some of these media narratives were prepared. A lot of it seems very curated. The rhetoric surrounding all of this that they were able to launch into immediately to say, oh, this is just, this is just because of this hate. It's extremely convenient to an ongoing narrative. And my perspective is always, where is this warfare? We do need to take a warfare perspective, and not in terms of violence. Of course there is violence involved in this situation, but what's more subversive is the forms of psychological and information warfare that are at play. You know, there's a modern kind of warfare called fifth generation warfare, and it's a kind of warfare that is well understood, and it's understood to be a kind of warfare that is meant to be covert, that is meant to seem like everyday life, like just normal modern life in North America. It's designed to look that way. And I think people need to become more educated about modern warfare so that when events like this occur, they have the situational awareness to look at it through that lens to know when they're being manipulated, because we are constantly being manipulated in the way we perceive things so that we behave in a certain way. And I think that's why my call to awareness in terms of the shooter has been, watch out for you being radicalized, whether you're on the right or the left. That's what they want, because that shuts down free thought. Free thought is the enemy to everything that they're doing.
Well, listen, we're going to take another break, but when we come back, I want to talk about that right there. Free thought and how you – let me just ask you this, Simon. You're Canadian? Are you Canadian?
Yes, I'm in Toronto. Yep.
I didn't even read that you were Canadian, but I heard that accent. I said, that man right there is a Canadian. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue our chat with Simon Essler. And I want to talk about free thought and how we can, on both sides, find the middle ground. Because I think you're right. I think we're being manipulated. And I think it's insidious. And it's one thing for us adults to figure this out. But young kids, they may not know they're being manipulated. So I want to talk about your free thought podcast and everything else. My guest is Simon Essler. You're listening to The Steve Hook Show. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
On Monday morning came word of the shooting at the Convent Elementary School in Nashville, Tennessee. 6 people slaughtered, including 3 9-year-olds, by a biological woman who attended that school and identified as a male until she was shot to death by police. In other words, the shooter was a trans. And as the Daily Wire reports, the shooting came the same week that transgender activists had promoted a day of vengeance. They say the group, which is run in part by a former Democratic staffer from Virginia, also raised money for firearms training and specifically called for action in Nashville, the city where the shooting took place. The main Day of Vengeance event is scheduled to occur in D.C. on Saturday, when attendees are asked to show up masked at the Supreme Court. The webpage promoting the event, the Trans Radical Activist Network, says the time is now, and it quotes a participant in the Stonewall riot saying, "I remember when someone threw a Molotov cocktail. I thought, my God, the revolution is here." Let's hope, folks, that the DOJ and the FBI are on top of this and will shut it down before we see more death and destruction. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
For many people with debt problems, the first time they can sleep without worry is when they've talked to us. At Step Change Debt Charity, our free advice helps thousands of people every week get their finances back on track. If you need help, contact us and take the first step to a debt-free future. Step Change Debt Charity. Free debt advice. Life-changing debt solutions.
Visit stepchange.org to find out more. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. My guest, Simon Essler, host of the podcast Finding Free Thought, among other things. You are a very busy man, Simon, and you're all about free thought and basically open communication, what we might call First Amendment here in the United States. That seems to be going away a lot here, and it's being shut down by the very people that should be defending it. But with your website and with the work that you've been doing, are you starting to notice, and I'm wondering, this is what I'm curious about, really, after a week like we just had here in the States with this shooting in Nashville and then this wholly unjustified arrest of a former president, I don't care what you're, whether you like or hate Trump, what they've done is it's political weaponization of the DOJ. I wonder if there's going to be some people that are on the left that are kind of, you know, kind of on the fence, but they're on the left. Their whole family's always voted Democrat or thought in a leftist way. Do you think that this is the kind of that people are going to go, wait a minute now, this doesn't seem quite right. This maybe we need to slow our roll a little bit on this pushing kids in the transgender thing. And maybe we need to slow down about slamming Trump and all Trump supporters. Are we seeing any of that?
Yeah, I have seen that. You know, I've seen people from the left openly saying, hey, I'm against this, for like the medical transitioning of children, for example. They'll say, I'm against this. And every time I speak out, someone calls me a right-wing extremist. I've voted Democrat my whole life. You know,
right.
A lot of them, I've seen them saying, anytime I speak out about this, I'm left politically homeless because no one will acknowledge that I'm both left-wing Democrat and against this. And the media keeps trying to spin it. And so, you know, you can go and look at the Twitter comments on someone who like a Billboard Chris, you know, who's a dad who's been touring North America, speaking out against using puberty blockers and medical transitioning of kids. And he has lots of left-wing supporters who have said, please keep speaking out. Because, you know, we need someone out there defending the kids like you're doing. And we're lifelong Democrats. So I have seen that. Absolutely. And, you know, I recently came across the research of a woman named Jessica Pinn. And she's been fighting for medical textbooks to have proper female anatomy because she was a victim of one of these botched labiaplasties. When she was a teenager, she found out that the medical community was disinforming all these girls. Now, she's been covered by left-wing outlets. This is a woman who's been on The Daily Show and had all this left-wing coverage. Now she's being attacked by the trans activists. And so you have examples like this, right? Of people who she was seen as a feminist and it was feminist information. And so all the big media outlets were covering her work. And so I do think you have good examples of this, who people who are, they're staunch in their left-wing position, but they are waking up to this. And I would say that is definitely happening across the board. And it's, of course, not covered. The mainstream media would never admit to that, but I've seen it in my own life and in my research 100%. And it's a sign of free thought. And one of the ways that I try to start this discussion with people is to get them to remember when the media was using the right wing to foment wars. and was using Republicans and Republican rhetoric to get countries into wars and sacrifice soldiers based on false narratives. So we all have to remember that the media is apolitical. They will switch parties in terms of who they need to manipulate and why. And we can see that they've done that historically. And getting people to remember that they used to say it's, you know, it's the right wing gun toting Republicans who are forcing us into wars. We have no business fighting. That rhetoric used to be used a lot of the time. And so now we have everything has been inverted. But taking a look back over history and seeing that we're actually up against an apolitical enemy that is willing to manipulate us from any angle is really important for people to recognize.
It's you know, as you when you put it that way, Simon, it just really does sound, because it is so insidious, so evil. I'll just say it. It's evil. It's the manipulation of people to get them to form a movement, to push an agenda that they want pushed. And I'll tell you, you may be right. It may come from both sides, but as long as Donald Trump is a part of the Republican Party, they will go against him no matter what. But I mean, you know, I've seen it too, to be honest with you. I've seen people that I know are lifelong Democrats that are like, man, I tell you what, I could never support Trump or anything that he represents. I don't know why they think this way, but they do. And but then they'll say, but man, we have taken a really far left turn here. But the funny thing is they eat their own. I mean, look at what happened to J.K. Rowling. Look at what happened to Dave Chappelle. If you don't march in lockstep with every tenet, whether it's the trans identity thing, whether it's whatever it is, they castigate you as a homophobe, Nazi, transphobe, xenophobe, loads of isms thrown in there as well. And it's just overwhelming.
Yeah. And I think we have never seen their desperation actually wake more people up. This is something that occurred throughout the whole COVID debacle as well. You know, we saw a lot of people wake up to what's going on. So it makes me wonder, you know, did we need this as a humanity? Did we need them to get so desperate and open about their manipulations that this was the only way you would get this kind of mass awakening? Because that does seem to be what's happening, right? What other catalyst could have woken this many people up around the world? You know, that film Plandemic that exposed a lot of what's going on, that's one of the first films seen by over a billion people. Right? People around the world want to see this information. And so maybe humanity was so asleep and was being manipulated so deeply that we needed some of this tension. I know that here in Canada, the truckers' convoy was a big wake-up moment for a lot of people because it put Trudeau and the media in a position of weakness and desperation. He panicked. They started shutting down the bank accounts of single mothers who were donating to the convoy. He looked ridiculous, and a lot of people saw it. And so maybe this is what we need. Maybe, you know, it's upsetting. It's warfare. There are children in danger. But what else could wake this many people up? I do wonder.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're basically saying here is, to nutshell it, the old adage, it's always darkest before the dawn. So maybe we needed this radical movement, regardless of what subject we're talking about here, radical COVID, radical climate change, radical trans movement, whatever. Maybe we needed this to everybody, wait a minute, maybe I should stop watching The Bachelorette for a second and start paying attention to what the hell's going on.
Yeah, people did need this. And, you know, something that I've studied for a long time. My perspective has been one of modern warfare for quite a long time. And, you know, for people who go and actually rent or purchase Daughters of the West, if you go to daughtersofthewestfilm.com and you pre-order it, or if you order it when it comes out on April 15th, you actually get a bonus film that I wrote called Vague Rules. And this additional film, it actually explores how an old style of communist warfare was used to install critical race theory, transgender ideology, and the lockdowns during COVID. And we can see an actual through line of warfare that connects to the history of communist China. Yeah. So this is something that I've been trying to educate people about, because I think Awareness of modern warfare is a big, big part of this. You know, you would never raise a child or a family in the middle of World War II and try and hide the war from them. We need to, as human beings on Earth, be aware of all of this. And so I'm trying to promote discussions. It's one of the big questions I ask at the end of my film. And when we look at the escalation of what's happening to girls and girls' bodies, and what has been happening to their bodies for a long time before gender ideology, when we look at all this, we need to ask the question, are we dealing with a form of irregular modern warfare? Is that what we're up against? And if so, how do we act accordingly? How do we fight back? How do we position ourselves to be ready for what we can now see is actual warfare operations being waged one by one?
And you know what, Simon, if I might, I just would throw into the mix, Black Lives Matter. Patrice Cullors is a avowed Marxist. There's my music, means we got to wrap it up. But I'll tell you what, I would advise everybody to go daughtersofthewestfilm.com. You can also find Simon at his own website, simonessler.com. Simon, listen, brother, I really appreciate it. I wish we had more time, but I'd love to have you back.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
All right, bye-bye. All right, coming up on TNT Radio, it's The Reckoning with Tim Shea. Until tomorrow, I'm Steve Hook. Goodbye.